Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And you're listening to episode 817 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris, and I'm here with Pete.
Hey-o.
So, it has been a very interesting past couple days in the video game world, and we're going to talk about that on this episode. We're also going to play some voicemails, and I'm sure I'll say something smart about Danny that is not just on the Twitch stream. I'm sure all this will happen. But before we do that, I want to remind everyone, you can find us over at GamertagRadio.com. Of course, the podcast, we're live on Twitch podcast. If you want to subscribe, famous RSS feed, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, just basically everywhere. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, anywhere you want to find us that plays podcasts, you can find Gamertag Radio. And of course, if you want to leave us feedback, you can do so just like this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete. So I want to open the show this week. And again, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. We got some interesting information, the three of us, over the last couple of days, which starts to set into motion some things that we've all been working on. Looking forward to that. So
what is that? What is that? Break NDA and tell everybody.
I'm not that guy. I'm not going to be that guy. But yes, we are. We do have some good stuff working on in the background for our viewers and listeners, and looking forward to that. That's going to be coming soon. And on top of that, tomorrow, for those that are listening, it's today, we will be doing a co-stream of the Game Awards, which will be on Twitch, on our Twitch channel. So make sure you jump over to twitch.tv/gamertagradio Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. And I guess I'm going to be doing the same thing that the Red Cup and Han have in common, solo. It's just going to be me. And looking forward to it. I enjoyed it last year. And every time we've done a co-stream on Twitch, it's been a good time. Good interaction with the community, which is one of my favorite things about doing this whole thing. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I will not be able to attend because I'm going to be at my wife's holiday party. So I'll be drinking vodka and tonic and eating squimps and all the other fine delicacies that her employer are providing us for free. I can't wait. I'm going to fully indulge because I don't work there. So how about that? But that should be good. We've talked about the Game Awards last week, and I'm just really looking forward to seeing how that presentation is going to come off this year and just who's going to win what. And I fully expect, and we'll talk about them later in the show, I fully expect Bethesda to get absolutely roasted during that show tomorrow. So we'll see. But before we get into Bethesda and the latest thing they've dropped the ball on, I want to talk about something positive. I want to talk about Epic Games. There's a couple things that came out over the last couple of days with Epic, which I found to be very noteworthy. And first of all, let's start with just the juggernaut that is Fortnite, the thing that has made Epic what they are in the past 18 months. And they're coming out with their season 7, and they're coming out with a creative mode, which basically is going to let people build and design their own levels and mini games that are outside of the battle royale mode that they've created in Fortnite. I'm not a Fortnite player, but I highly respect what Epic has done with Fortnite. My son is completely addicted to it. So is, you know, millions of other children around the world, along with adults that are also been playing this game constantly. It's just its own phenomenon and everything that goes with it. And they just keep iterating on top of it. And here's the latest thing with this creative mode. And I'm very excited to see what the community is going to be able to do with this, because, you know, the sky's the limit. I mean, you're only limited by your imagination with these type of things. So, Pete, I'm very curious. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I've always been the naysayer since day one because of my allegiance to PUBG. But over the last 2 or 3 months, I've kind of softened my stance. Simply because, I mean, like you call it, it's the juggernaut. Is there anything – I don't know if there's anything that can be done to slow that roll, right? They've done a phenomenal job because ultimately that engine is theirs, right? They know how to work it and they know how to tweak it and make it do phenomenal things. Their ability to appeal to a wide variety of gamers and players and not just be solely dedicated to just the hardcore, right? You know, you've got, you know, all manner and all walks of life, you know, whether you're on mobile or, you know, it's literally platform agnostic. They don't care. They just want you to play their game and have fun. Exactly. We've seen their growth of how they've been championing the cross play, cross save, narrative. You know, I think they have become what gaming has needed for so long, which is a truly open environment and open platform. Yep. Now with, you know, with them being able to open up Fortnite to every creator and let them create the Fortnite that they want to play. So if it's like me that plays and I don't do the building, I just play it like I'm playing PUBG, but I want to go in there and create it. There's no preferential treatment to whomever is playing it, whether it's, you know, super streamer A or it's, you know, it's me with 10 viewers. Everybody has an opportunity to make Fortnite their own. And, you know, on top of other things such as, you know, what they announced today or yesterday, the Epic Store. You know, they just keep...
Okay, steal my shine, but go ahead.
I'm going to do it just so that you
well, get... Well, so you I want to keep those. I want to keep the store separate because that's an entire topic on itself. But
yes, but things like that, they continue to make their title and their brand and everything about them so appealing and easy to enter. The, you know, the entry cost is, you know, hell, and the game is free. I mean, I don't know what else, you know, Epic can do right now. They have become the monster juggernaut. Do you put them now on that Mount Rushmore of developers because of
success? In my opinion, they already have been, because think about how many games use their engine,
right?
Alone puts them up there, you know, as far as the development studio goes. But yeah, with the popularity of Fortnite right now, and you know, look, that bubble is showing no sign of bursting anytime soon. They are the most influential gaming studio in the world right now. They are, because of the popularity of Fortnite. Think about it. They made Sony blink with crossplay. They had to relent to pressure because of that game and how popular it is and how much their community wanted crossplay to become a reality, that it forced Sony to open the floodgates on it. That's true power right there. And they're not using it for evil. They seem to be using it for good. So I'm very excited for the future of what Epic is doing right now. Now, since you mentioned the store, I think we should transition right on into that, unless you had anything else you wanted to bring up on
Fortnite. No. Let's just keep the ball rolling. Let's like the juggernaut. Let's just keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, with the Epic Store, that got announced a couple days ago. And Pete, in my opinion, this is the first true competitor to Steam and what Valve has done. Like, they are a serious threat to take over the thing that Valve has been doing. God, are we talking, Kyle, how long has Steam been around now, the Steam Store? 15 years? Something crazy like that?
I think so.
I forget the math. Hey, look, it's been around a long ass time. Let's just put it that way, right? But what Epic is doing now, and again, this is spurring creativity and opening up the possibilities to just more development studios to be able to get their game showcased. They're basically giving, with this Epic Store, everyone every game their own platform, their own space where they can go, and they're only taking 12%, which is huge. And if you're using the Unreal Engine, which normally has a 5% licensing fee on top of it, they will absorb that into the 12% that they're already taking. So you have even more incentive to, oh, we need an engine for our game. let's go pick the Epic engine, because if we put it on their store, they're basically giving it to us for free.
Yep.
Think about that. That's huge. And they're encouraging, you know, all these developers, bring your games to our store, showcase them on our store, because we're going to, again, with the popularity of Fortnite, you're going to have that foot traffic going to that Epic store, and you're going to be able to get a light shined on your game. And let's just be honest, Steam, we're so used to Steam at this point, but if you really look at Steam, if you really look at it for what it is, it's been a hot freaking mess for probably the last 5 years. They can't seem to figure out the direction that they want to go. They can't seem to figure out how to truly spotlight indie developers and give them the shine they do. Obviously, they have, what is Steam at right now? I know they just did a reduction, but wasn't it like at 30% or something like that at one point? I forget exactly, but I think they just reduced it a little bit. But the point is, Valve has never truly figured out what is the next evolution of Steam. They've tried, like, matter of fact, the Steam Link thing, just the hardware, they just got rid of that. The Steam, yeah, discontinued. The controllers discontinued. VR, I know they were pushing that, but let's be real, VR is still in its infancy stage. It's nowhere near where it needs to be. You know, they used to be this great actual game developer making, obviously, all the Half-Life games and Portal and Left 4 Dead and things like that. And really now their focus has been more on, you know, their Counter-Strikes and their Dota tournaments and things like that. I'm not saying Valve's a bad company or anything, but they needed this kind of competition to come up, because, again, competition makes everyone better, right? So yeah. I'm actually very excited to see that Epic is stepping into the forefront and, again, using the power that they have right now with Fortnite to be able to do something like this. And it's just going to encourage more developers to say, you know what? I'm just putting my game over on Epic. I'm saving money. I'm getting a spotlight for I'm getting more spotlight for my games. I'm talking more indie developers and AAA developers right now. And my game is going to have more of a chance to succeed being on the Epic platform than potentially it would be on GOG or on Steam or anywhere else, right? I think the interesting thing is going to be, you know, we already know EA has Origin. We already know Ubisoft has their platform, but like Ubisoft, as an example, does put their games on Steam. Will they start putting them on Epic as well? That'll be interesting to see. Yep. You know, some of the other bigger third-party developers as well. You know, like, again, like, let's just talk of CD Projekt Red as an example. Will they put Cyberpunk on the Epic platform, or will they just continue to push people towards theirs on GOG? There's just going to be a lot of things. And I know Epic at the Game Awards, they're going to talk more about this as well. So there may be even more surprises, but I'm excited because it looks very developer friendly. And as a consumer, I mean, it's just, we're already going to the Epic store for Fortnite. That's just, now it can become a one-stop shop for virtually all the games that we get digitally. So right. Sorry, I know I talked a lot on that, but what are your thoughts?
But it's good, because the discussion I think is important. My question though, and I have to try and put on the naysay hat, what is the encouragement for the gamer to go to the Epic launcher, as opposed to Steam, an interface that they've been familiar with and comfortable with for, like you said, I think it was September 2003, so 15 years now, you know, old tried and true. I know I can do shift tab to get to something, shift F2 if I need to go to chat. I already have all of my stuff. I have all my friends there. Why am I going to just uplift everything just to go over to an Epic launcher? Yeah, fine. I get it that, you know, from a support perspective for the developer, they get a win out of it, or a little bit more of a win out of it. But at the end of the day, let's be truthful with ourselves. Most gamers, does that really matter?
No, and I agree with you. It doesn't really matter. To be honest with you, I go where I get the best damn deal. That's where I go. Mm-hmm. I really could care less. So, and I think that will continue. But like we're saying, this actually, by lowering the fees that the developers are going to have to pay on their games, it gives them more incentive to, you know what, on the Epic platform, we can give a 10% discount, you know, or 15, whatever, for our game, which in turn is going to push me, the consumer, to say, well, you know what, it's cheaper over on the Epic platform than it is on Steam. I'm going to go get it there. Right. That's how I kind of look at it.
I don't know. It's funny, I had this chat with my son earlier, and it's like, I see the positives. I just don't see Johnny Public jumping over to the Steam or to the Epic launcher just for everything. It's going to be really hard for them, for all of the good that Epic is going to be, you know, doing with this new, you know, with this new store. I mean, how many new launchers do we really need at the end of the day? At this point, I mean, we've got, you know, the Steam launcher, we've got, let's say, Uplay, Origin, we've got the Xbox application on our computers. You know, now we're going to have an Epic launcher. Now we're going to have a Bethesda launcher. You know, I have one for every single thing. I've got a Blizzard client for Call of Duty. I'm going to have 37, you know, I'm going to have 43 launchers on my computer, and I don't want that. And at that point, I start to bloat and wear down my machine because, you know, every time I want to play a game, I can't just go to Steam. Now I have to go to, one of 43 different launchers on my computer and play the game.
Well, but that's your choice, though. I mean, no one's going, if you prefer Steam could still just be your central platform for where you want to get your games from. Like I'll just take myself as an example right now. My games are basically spread out over Steam, GOG, Origin, and Ubisoft. That's where all my games are at right now, you know, as far as digitally on the PC. I guess technically you could say on the Microsoft store as well, I have a few Xbox games around there as well. So I'm kind of already doing it anyways. If I added Epic into it, it's not going to really change too much from what I'm used to already. And I think that's probably the case for a majority of PC gamers anyways, right? I mean, again, you're going to pick up a game where you're going to get the best deal on it, most likely, which means you're not always going to go to Steam. You're not always going to go to GOG, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm sorry for this. And we've been doing this more and more, but I Danny's not here, so I don't care. I'll do it anyways.
Exactly. Danny ain't here. We do what we want. It's our show.
Somebody in the chat, Game Bros, says low fees won't make them lower prices. It's just more money for the developers. We all thought digital was going to be cheaper, but it wasn't. My retort is game prices haven't changed in 20 years either. You know, those same prices, you know, it's the same price, but costs and budgets for any and all of these games have skyrocketed by 200%, if not more, especially if you start looking at budgets for games like, Call of Duty, Battlefield, and all Cyberpunk, and every other, you know, AAA title that's out now or coming out. The developers need to make that money because that's how they're going to be able to continue to fund and support the game that you love and enjoy. That being said, at the end of the day, me personally, I'm looking at my taskbar now and I've got 6 launchers. That's 5 more than I really wanted when I built my computer 2 years ago. right? And so maybe this is going to become commonplace where now every platform or developer publisher has their own launcher, right? We've got the Origin one for EA. You've got Uplay for Ubisoft. Bethesda for theirs, Epic now for theirs. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just house cleaning and preference, but I, as good as this is for the developer, I don't see the adoption from the general public going to it as maybe as large as expected or anticipated.
Well, I'm just going to say this. You're a freaking negative Nancy. I think this is an exciting thing. So there you go. And I'm sure Danny would go, well, I'll just play Xbox anyway. Yeah, see, no we keep Danny it. Included in the show. Even though Danny's not here, he's still here because I will keep his name on my lips while we do this podcast and talk crap just like I did on the Twitch stream before we went live. So no one go back and watch that ever. Anything else on this? Again, I'm obviously kidding. But yeah, I think for the industry as a whole, for developers as a whole, to spur more creativity in the industry, this is a good thing to give Steam comp real competition, in my opinion. That's kind of where I'm going at it. So anything else on this subject? Should we just go ahead and move forward?
No, we can move forward now.
All right. So let's do this. Let's take a break. And then when we come back, Destiny Talk Radio, because I got a rant.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737 GTR.
All right, we're back. It's Destiny Talk Radio, folks. I have to get this out because I've been getting cussed out on Twitter the past couple of days. So latest DLC, part of the annual pass for Destiny 2 just came out. It's Black Armory. And it's, of course, because this is what Bungie always done, it has controversy at launch. I'm so shocked by this, right? But, you know, they decided to do it a little differently this time. It doesn't have a real campaign or anything. It's, and I won't go too deep into weeds on this, but it's not the traditional DLC that Bungie has put out for Destiny, where you get a story campaign, you play it for a couple hours, you're done with it, and then you're looking around and going, hey, now what? Basically, what Black Armory is they've said from the start that this is in-game content. So in other words, this is continuing that journey once you get past the campaign, once you've beaten the raid, once you've reached max level, is what Black Armory is supposed to be. So the controversy is this. It has a high power level requirement from day one. Basically, they're recommending most people go in at 610. And right now, you know, everyone's at 600 if you've reached max light. So to do that, that means you have to kind of grind a lot of stuff that you've already been playing. And Danny is interrupting me, so let me close this screen. So you have to actually replay content that you've already been playing. It's just kind of the Destiny cycle instead of being able to jump directly into the new content. So Twitter exploded, Reddit exploded. People are upset about that, saying, I don't want to play old content. I didn't pay for this, blah, blah, blah. So my opinion on it is this, and Bungie has actually responded. My opinion has been, this is in-game content. It is not for the casual audience. If you're not at 600 light level, you should not expect to be able to play this day one. You just shouldn't. Because it's for people that have hit 600, aka the hardcore audience. It will be there for the casual audience when you get to that appropriate light level. But now here's where I actually agree with people that what they've been saying. They made that power level too high for people that are even at max level. They should have made it a little lower to at least get an entry so you're playing new content to get your power level up to do some of the more advanced things in the forges and get some of the new weapons. Bungie has responded to this, and they've for now, just kind of a half measure, they've lowered the power level requirement somewhat by 5 for the forge that you'll be able to go into. And I've already seen some people on Twitter saying they've now been able to complete it. So that seems to be a quick and dirty fix, and they promise to keep evaluating and provide more fixes in the future. But I just wanted to talk about this because, again, Pete, I know you don't play the game anymore. I know you're on the outside looking in with this. I'm obviously deep in the weeds in Destiny, and I consider myself a somewhat hardcore player on it. Been playing it for 4 years. You know, my characters are at 600, and I've jumped in, and I've been playing over the past few days with the new DLC, and I think I'm like 605 or something like that right now, and I haven't even gone to the Forge yet. But I kind of understand what Bungie's trying to do. They don't want you to consume all this content in the first couple days and then go scream, now what? Then people would be mad saying, see, I have nothing to do. Instead, they're kind of putting in these, I don't want to say artificial fences, but they want you to actually have to achieve something with the power level to be able to experience some of this content. I think they went too extreme with it, and they've agreed and they've backed off on it a little bit. Look, we got the raid coming up Friday for it, so that's going to be there. And it's like I told one person on Twitter, I don't play Destiny to get to the max power level. I play Destiny for the challenges that are provided by things like the raid, now with like Shattered Throne, with the dungeons, Gambit, Crucible, etc., and then that carrot on the stick of I'm chasing certain weapons and gear. That's why I continue to play Destiny, and that is the direction that Bungie seems to be, and plus all the secret quests and things that come of that nature. And that's where Bungie seems to be going with Destiny now, which for me, a hardcore player, I'm perfectly fine with. I understand that casual people will not be happy about that, but you know what? Bungie skewed way too left with to the casual audience a year ago, and we had vanilla Destiny 2 and everyone hated it. So honestly, Bungie can't win, and me selfishly being a hardcore player, I'd rather them do this than do the other thing. So that's just me. Rant off. I'm done. Any comments that you have on that?
You won't be done. You'll continue.
I will.
So there's two sides to the discussion, right? People are going to complain that, you know, they're kowtowing to the casual market too much, but that's also the reason they're in the position they currently are, where they're trying to make amends and trying to give equal fitting to the casual to the casual players as well as to the hardcores. Yes, their base constituency are people like Paris and, you know, Gothalians and, you know, Mesa Sean, and you know, you've got your various communities like Destiny Talk Radio, Guardian One, and all those clans. I don't think Destiny would be where it's at without all of those people like you.
Exactly.
Who mm-hmm. sit there and spend countless hours, same way as I do on broken ass PUBG, right? That's what the game is built on, and that's why the game continues to play. You do have to somewhat appease your casuals and entice them to come back in an attempt or in a hope that you convert someone like Danny, who goes in and plays for 3 hours every 6 months for a new DLC, maybe beats it, and then goes back to playing Dead Cells or, you know, any other game in their library, or goes back to their growing backlog of games. How do you entice them to stay and to continue to play and hopefully become someone like Paris or someone like Mesa Sean or some, you know, a player like that? They have to somehow appease them and bring them. So that's why you can't always make things only for the high and mighty and those that have, you know, that those that have put in the thousands of hours. So it's a fine line. I like the fact that they understand that. They themselves understand that. And that they keep going back with feedback and adjusting and tweaking, because, I mean, hell, look at all the other games that do that right now. We just talked about Epic and Fortnite. That's what they do. They continue to tweak and improve. They'll throw in an adjustment and a monkey wrench and see how things work. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But, and I think this is one of those Paris Champion statements, as long as you keep that roadmap and that line of communication open to the players, regardless of whether you're casual or you're a hardcore player, and you take that feedback and that constructive criticism and you use it to make your game better, then let Bungie do what Bungie is doing.
And that's the thing on it. And again, I know I'm a Bungie shill or whatever the hell they call these days, right? But you know, they're just definitely not perfect. They've made plenty of mistakes over the past 4 years, but I like the current path that they're on. It's not going to be perfect, as we've witnessed this week, you know, with the community backlash. But I think the one thing, and I had tweeted this out, you know, we have an open dialogue with them between Deej, DMG, and Cosmo. They're on Twitter. They're on Reddit. They respond to the community. They're talking to us. And as is, and there's other Bungie employees out there to do the same. But my point is, they're active on social media and they hear us and they listen. And yeah, they can't Thanos it and snap their finger and fix everything right away. But whatever's feasible, like they did today by lowering the power level a little bit, they're doing it. And again, this is a living game that is constantly evolving, very similar to like we talked about with Fortnite and what Epic has been able to do, you know, not on the scale of what Epic has been able to do, but, you know, they will make mistakes. There was always going to be some good. There's always going to be some bad. And I guess I'm just at the point now where I accept them both for what they are. The bad parts are the bad parts. Have that open discussion on social media with them respectfully. I mean, cussing and screaming is not going to get anything done. But if you don't like something, voice, you have your voice. Say something. They're listening to you. And if they can fix it, they're going to fix it, right? And I think that's really all you can ask for. Because I'll just say this real quick. You know, like I finally did Shattered Throne last weekend, because every time it was coming around with the Dream City, you know, in that third week, I was busy and I just didn't have a chance to do it. So I finally got to sit down and do it. Amazing. It's basically a 3-man raid. It was fantastic. And it's like, when I get stuff like that, it's what reminds me, yep, this is why I keep playing this game. This is why I don't care what no one says, blah, 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 oh, he's playing that stupid game. Yep, I still play it because of stuff like this. I guarantee you Friday, I won't be a world's first for that raid, but we're going to try and do it Sunday. Sure, I'll be singing the praises of that too, because I love that type of challenge and I love that content. Hell, I've been grinding for this freaking pinnacle breakneck, whatever the hell it's called, Gambit auto rifle. I got 2 more matches to do. So guess what I'm doing when we get off this podcast? I'm going to do those last 2 matches so I can get that stupid gun. I just love the chase of that kind of stuff. And not just Destiny. Hell, Pete, we got a global event we can go do in the division that's yep. coming up. They're doing for the holidays with that mask and just all the stuff that's coming with that. I love this crap. I love it. I absolutely love doing stuff like this. And I really hope Anthem also has things to chase like this as well. I love those type of games. I just do. So I'm always going to be down for the grind. You just put that carrot out in front of me and like a lemming, I'm just going to beeline for it. That's what I do. Right. So again, I don't want to bore everybody with too much Destiny talk. Like I said, I just wanted to bring that up because I thought that was interesting dialogue, you know, happening in the community with that this week. But and Pete, I know you already said what you had to say, but anything else before we move on?
I think for me, Destiny has become the game that I'll watch on stream because I know it's passed me by, but I still appreciate and enjoy the game for what it is. Watching Gambit gameplay on Twitch has become somewhat of a regular thing now for me because it looks ridiculously fun. I just don't have the wherewithal to jump back in to the wherewithal to jump back into that grind to have to get to a high light level and getting all of those motions and habits back. I don't know if I don't have that in me anymore, right? But like I said, I enjoy watching Gambit gameplay, if anything. I think the raid for me got way too difficult just with all of the processes and everything once we got into the machine one.
Wrath of the Machine, yeah.
That one, it was just, I as many times as I ran through it, I still could never get it. Like, it just never sunk in. Like, had to go here and why? What did this do? And I think that whole raid mechanic thing for me now, I think I'm done with that, particularly with Destiny. Maybe not with other games, but with Destiny, yes. But Gambit, I think Bungie's got a monster hit on their hands with that game mode. It's mad stupid fun. Just watching friends play it and whether they get knocked out when like 15 motes and bap, they go down and the moat's gone. And then hearing everybody yelling at them and stuff like that. That's the fun part for me watching it. So I'm glad that they're able to move forwards, you know, just don't super appease one to dishearten or piss off another, you know, make sure that make sure that Bungie is cognizant that, you know, they need to appease both sides of the fence, not just one.
Oh, agreed. And it is a very fine line, and that's kind of the point. So, like I said, selfishly, I'm glad they're skewing more hardcore than they are casual right now, but they do have to kind of find that middle ground. And obviously, we know even with Activision, they want more people playing than is doing it currently. So that's enough Destiny talk right now. I don't want to bore people anymore. So moving from that, I think we should go ahead and get into some of our voicemails.
Gamertagradio.com.
Pete, I don't know if you got that queued up and ready, but let's just go ahead and go into the first one.
Yep, here we go.
Hey, Gamertag Radio, what's going on? A big fan of your work. Keep the good work. My name is Jordan. I'm calling in regards to a recent episode I've been listening to regarding Danny and Pete on the whole Diablo fiasco. I will have to say that I do understand the situation on why gamers are frustrated and why they're angry. I have to disagree more, especially with how Danny mainly called them kind of crybabies about this game. Yes, they did complain about Diablo 3, but I don't think they're completely mad with the developers. I think they're mostly angry at the sponsors of the game. I don't think it was the developer's idea to go mobile. I strictly think that they went mobile because this is their chance to probably gain more revenue, which is understandable. But at the same time, not many people want to see their franchise get ruined or turned into something that they probably know is not going to work out so well. And not that many, especially if this game is going to be paid for. If you have to pay for it, we don't know if it's free, and we don't know if you have to pay for it. So my question, I just kind of want to hear your response on the situation on how do you think this could have been better handled in any way? Your thoughts.
All right. Thank you very much for the voicemail. I mean, you heard my opinion when we talked about it originally. I get why they did it. I think the delivery by which Blizzard went about the announcement could have been done better, right? Poor delivery. My opinion, it may not be welcomed by others in the industry. I think they could have thrown up a logo in some way, shape, or form. They all have, you know, art teams and stuff like that. Could have thrown up a logo and said, to be discussed, or, you know, TBD, coming soon, some four-letter, you know, some four-word, you know, catchphrase on the screen, and appeased and let their hardcore constituency and fans know that the reason why they're there and they spent money for BlizzCon, you know, they're going out there to play, you know, or they're going out there to find out. Let them know it's coming. If they weren't ready to do the full-on trailer reveal and everything else, just let them know. Hell, put Danny with his bald head and his four fingers up in the air saying four and let everybody know it's coming. I think that would have gone a long way with appeasing their fan base. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we pretty much already talked about this. Like I said, when you two were talking about it, I was flying back from Sweden and I almost got a parachute and jumped out the plane because I wanted to give my opinion so bad. So, I mean, we don't need to really revisit it too much other than, like I said, they just needed to understand the people that were right in front of them that they were talking to. And should have anticipated some kind of backlash with that. I mean, that's really all it comes down to. And they've obviously pivoted a little bit since then, and we've seen some more information about it. And I fully expect, it would not surprise me in the least at the Game Awards tomorrow if we heard something. I do think they're going to announce a Diablo 4 sooner rather than later, just to let the fans know that, yep, we're working on it. Kind of similar to what BioWare is doing with Dragon Age. They're going to show it at the Game Awards, but it's not coming anytime soon, right? They're just acknowledging its existence, which, to be honest, that's all they needed to do with Diablo 4. Just acknowledge that you're working on it. Very similar to what Bethesda also did with the next Elder Scrolls. We're not getting that till probably 2021 or something crazy like that, but we know they're working on it. And God forbid, whatever QA team that you had working on Fallout 76, don't put them on Elder Scrolls. Good googly moogly. Speaking of Bethesda, just so a little side note, we don't need to spend too much time on it. So with the whole bag fiasco that they had and people calling in to customer support for Fallout 76. Well, unfortunately, the side effect of this was people were actually able to get into their database and extract customer names, addresses, and phone numbers as well. So they basically had a data breach on people's privacy. Good job, Bethesda.
On top of the fact that they didn't even give you the bag, the right bag that they talked about, yeah, that they mm-hmm. showcased. But they did announce yesterday, in regards to that they are going back and they are going to be making new bags for everybody that will be available through the end of December, I believe. I'll have to go back.
Well, yeah, and that's what causes data breach because people right. are
– anybody know, who opened a ticket was able to see previous tickets that were opened, which also divulged name addresses and email addresses. So if you have a Bethesda account and you opened up a complaint ticket in regards to that – I would, you know, start throwing on two-factor on everything, two-factor on your door.
Let me just say, living in the security world, and because this is for all intents and purposes a data breach, right? So whoever is in charge of this for basically the app security of this platform, they don't work at Bethesda anymore. I guarantee you that. No way.
Yeah.
If not the CISO.
The fallout from something like this, just the negative mm-hmm. fallout, just from a, you know, from any form of security breach, definitely not welcome. You and I both work in IT. You know, your specialty is security. Mine is networks and management. But yeah, once that happens, that's not soon after where you're updating. This is what we call a resume updating event. If you're responsible for that.
That's pretty much what happened. People are updating a resume over this one. So that's unfortunate. See, Bethesda's trying to choke me out. I can't even talk. We want to go to the next voicemail?
Sure. Give you time to clear the throat.
Hi guys, it's Devin here. First, I just wanted to send my best to Danny. I understand he's going through a hard time based on your last podcast. So hope he's doing okay. And I'm thinking about him. Moving on to my question, it's about work-life balance. I got a full-time job. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I find it so hard to find opportunities to play games. And, you know, sometimes I'm getting home, I'm so tired. I just want to go to sleep, or at least spend the remainder of my quality time of day with my family. And it sucks because I see all these games coming out and I just don't have any time to play them. And recently my wife asked me if I wanted a PlayStation game for Christmas. And I've actually for the first time told her no, because I've got so much that I still want to play, and having another game in the mix isn't really going to help at the moment. So just wondered how you guys manage it. You travel around the country, you're devoted to the podcast and your interviews, and I know you guys work hard and have families, and I just wondered how do you find that balance? How do you find the opportunity to play games and enjoy what you do and still manage to get everything else done? Love to hear your thoughts. All the best. Thanks.
At the end of the day, you know, he wants to know, how is it that we're able to budget our free time to play games? One interesting little side note that he mentioned was that, you know, his wife asked him if he wanted a PlayStation game for Christmas, and he said no, because he doesn't have the time to play them as it is, you know, much less play a new game. So how do we budget time, you know, especially us, you know, as working professionals with families and other responsibilities around the house? How do we budget our time to be able to do what we do successfully, right? How do we budget time to play our PUBGs or our Destinies and, you know, still have time for family?
You're not going to answer the question?
Oh, you want me to answer that?
You're already talking over here. You go ahead and answer it.
Well, I figured we're doing this as a discussion.
Go for it. And then I'll give my answer.
I'm lucky in that respect. I work from home, right? I'm one of the blessed few that, you know, my company trusts me and trusts me enough to be able to work from home. So I sit here in my office, and on free time, if I have a chance during my lunch break and I want to throw in Starlink like I did yesterday, you know, play a little bit of games on my lunch break or something like that. I do it then. Family always comes first, though. That has to be your first and foremost, most important thing, right? It helps that my family plays games, so we kind of already know that. You know, I know that my son's going to be in his office in his room playing games. I'm going to be obviously in here playing games. My daughter's going to be playing games. But we always make sure to have time when it's dinner time. We sit there and we have dinner together as a family, where, you know, phones are put away. We make sure that we spend time with each other outside from having a screen. Sometimes we'll, you know, if it's watching a TV show or something like that, we'll do that. But first and foremost, you know, you don't always have to be in front of a screen with your family to enjoy or have fun. You know, I like Paris has, you know, his son does sports, so he does that. Like my daughter, you know, is in the rowing club, so, you know, make sure that she goes out to her practice, make sure that I go out and pick her up, make sure, you know, that first and foremost, family always comes first in any regards, you know, whether it's, you know, hell, sometimes it's work related and I'll tell him, sorry, piss off, I got to go do something with the family, you know, you find someone else to do it. But at the end of the day, when I can, it's usually after hours, like after 9 o'clock, when the family started to wind down, daughter's already going to bed. My son's 20 years old. So, you know, just as long as he keeps it quiet, I don't care what he does in his room. That's basically it. And I find my time as long as it doesn't interfere with my family or my professional time.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much everything that you just said. I don't work 100% from home, but I get to work a couple days out of the week from home. So that helps, because I don't have to worry about commuting or whatever. So that just gives me a few extra cycles during the day to be able to do that. But like you said, Pete, I mean, it really just comes down to families first. You make sure they're taken care of, you know, happy wife, happy life, that whole thing. Obviously the kids with their sports and all their interests, like even right now, as I'm recording this, My wife took my daughter to my youngest daughter to gymnastics. Then she took her to a Polar Express thing at school. And then she just took my oldest daughter to a play. And I'm here with my son because I actually have to work tonight. So I have to do some late night stuff. So that's why I didn't go do any of those things. And she did it. But normally we would share that responsibility to be able to do that stuff. And like I say, you figure it out. You just figure it out. And you might lose a little bit of sleep if you want to get in to play some games. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And obviously the weekends and everything that goes with that. But priority is always family. Then it's work. Then it's games. And then it's on this podcast arguing with Danny about discless Xboxes and all this other stuff. See, I keep saying Danny's name. I keep Danny's name in the podcast. Danny's still here in spirit. But yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, just you just have to figure out what works best for you and your schedule, you know, and if gaming is something that is important to you, you know, just like with me going to gym and all that stuff, you will find the time. I mean, that's really all it comes down to.
Yep. You will make the time. You will make the time. Hell, if that means me going to bed at 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Yep.
So be it. You know, I've done it. I've, you know, just to make sure that I get that extra game of PUBG in or whatever. I always make sure that, you know, you'll usually see me up after 10:30. That's usually when everybody else goes to bed. I'm still in here playing games or sometimes working because I've got to do stuff for work after hours. But yeah, man, always make sure that your family gets taken care of first and foremost. The games will always be there. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your backlog continues to grow. Mine does. So does everybody else's. Just make sure that you take care of your family and yourself.
100%. 100%. Let's play one more of those voicemails.
Okay. Which one?
You pick.
Last one or the one everybody wants to hear?
Oh, that's right. We do got play Keon, man. We got to play Keon.
All right. There we go.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? What's going on, fellas? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just wanted to say very quickly to Pete, shout out to you, brother. I just heard the latest podcast that you did solo, and I thought you did a very, very good job. It was very entertaining, and you had a lot of good points. I just wanted to just comment very briefly on the loot box situation. You were asking the question, should it be considered gambling? And I kind of fall on the same side as you with that situation. I don't think it should be considered gambling because usually when a person gambles, they're putting up money with the possibility of not getting anything in return. Now, I understand with some of the loot boxes, people may say that you have no control over what you're buying, if that is to be believed, if I'm speaking on that correctly. And, I mean, my thing would be at least you're getting something. That might not be the popular answer, but that's my take on it. I think that as long as you're getting something in return for your money, it's not necessarily gambling. That's about it for me, though, fellas. I just wanted to say a shout-out to Paris as well for the previous podcast that you guys did together. I thought it was fantastic. And shout-out to you, Danny. Definitely look forward to hearing your voice and your input on the podcast. And for the time that you're gone, you will be greatly missed. So with that being said, guys, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day and week, and you guys take care. Bye-bye.
The legendary Keon, everyone. He's awesome.
Well, here's the thing, Pete. You need to pat yourself on the back for that podcast. You know, he's not the only person that has reached out to say how great of a job that you done, and I refuse to say it. So you better take the kudos from the people that you get it from.
Well, I got that screen cap, so I don't have to worry about you saying it. I got that screen cap. I'm gonna change my Twitter bio. I'm gonna change that. Boom, just change the banner up there. No longer have the three of us on there. Just have you giving me kudos. But thank you. I mean, I was nervous. I was nervous as hell leading up into it, wondering if I was going to be able to maintain that same standard that you and Danny constantly do. But you know, I'm glad. I'm glad that I was able to get it done, and it was, you know, I'm glad it was well received by everybody. I appreciate the kudos. Oh, give me the critiques. I don't care. Good, bad, or indifferent. I don't care. You know, that only is going to make me a better podcaster and make this show that much better as a result. Right. So
no, thank agreed,
you, Keon. Thank you, everyone else.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's just, honestly, it's just like anything else. It's just reps. It's practice. You just have to do it. If you don't do it, you won't get better at it, but you're fine. You're fine. I mean, it's good. And I'm, trust me. And I think this is what I did tell you offline. I'm nervous every time we podcast, every time, until we say go. And then I just started flowing at the mouth, and then I just forget about it, and it is what it is. But you know, everyone, I have anxiety all the time. I'm always like, oh my God, I hope I don't screw this up every time, you know, interviews, whatever. You just have to go do it. It's just bottom line. And sometimes you'll be great. Sometimes you may not be, but even those times that you're not, screw it. Go do it again. The next time you'll be great.
Just keep working on it. Just keep practice. Practice makes perfect. And that's why I said, you know, that's why I'm like, you know what? I had no problem with when you guys said, you know, you're going to have to do it solo. It's like, you know, you just got to take it. Sometimes you just do it.
Yep.
You know, you just get it done.
Completely agree. So I think we should go ahead and wrap this up now. Like I said, I got to squeeze in a little bit of gaming, and then I have to work. We're doing a cutover tonight, so I have to be available for that. So we probably should just go ahead and wrap this up now. Okay. And let's let everyone know where they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Now, Pete, before we go, I do have to dip into the pop culture again because Danny ain't here, so I'll talk about what the hell I want to talk about. And Friday is going to be Avengers 4. It would have been today, but because of President Bush's funeral, they pushed it back out of respect, which absolutely that's what you should do. I'm just curious, your thoughts are you excited for this trailer? Do you not want to be spoiled on anything, or are you curious to see the direction? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I was already amped up from Captain Marvel's trailer, but yeah, give it to me. I want to see what the Russos have been cooking up. I want to see the culmination of 10 years of movies and story building. I want it. Give it to me all. I don't want to say spoil it, but they're gonna drop some tidbits of information and people have or have not even considered. I still didn't even know. I don't even know what to expect, to be honest. But yeah, dude, the hype meter is going crazy. You know, I am literally that Toad meme where he's just, you know, all vibrating and jiggly and crazy, like he's on 14 scoops of pre-workout. I'm hyped. I cannot wait till Friday.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm just very curious the direction that it's going to go is, because I have a feeling Thanos isn't the big bad of this one, believe it or not. Obviously he's a threat and he has to be stopped for what he did. But I think this is where we start getting into the Eternals and just the Celestials and just everything else cosmic in the MCU is going to be an influence in this. You know, how does the quantum realm factor into this? How does Stark's barf technology factor into this time travel, just does. All that. Just there's so many variables that I want to know, and I'm not expecting, you know, this first trailer to obviously give up too much of the goods, but it'll just be exciting to kind of just get a feel for the direction of what we can expect, because like you said, when May gets here, this is just going to be the culmination of everything they've been doing since 2008, which is just such an amazing thing. And I tell everyone listening or watching this right now, savor this moment in time, because they're not going to be able to do this again. No freaking way. I don't care how much planning they do. I don't care whatever. They caught lightning in a bottle with Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. And it just went on from there. And it has just snowballed into what we have right now. And I think it's be very hard to replicate that. Look at DC and everything they've been trying to do to replicate this. And they failed. And they're almost to the point of starting over. Which, by the way, to pivot, and I know we'll get out of here. Aquaman, are you going to go see it in the theater?
I will be seeing it next Saturday.
I'm
lucky enough to get I have Amazon Prime. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can use it to your Twitch subscription. I'm getting early advanced screening access to go see it. So me and the family will be going on Saturday evening. But to circle back to the Avengers, my anticipation is Annihilation or the Annihilation storyline, where they introduce Annihilus. And in that respect, I can understand how you would say that, yes, Thanos won't be the only bad guy out there. And the reason I think Annihilus and the Annihilation storyline comes across is because they need to start evolving more into the cosmic landscape with characters that are already in play, Star-Lord, with Captain Marvel, with I'm anticipating Nova to come out. Nova being good close friends with Star-Lord. That whole storyline leads into Annihilation. Maybe even the Cancerverse. Who knows? That'd be cool. Because at that point, then you've got a whole other slew of enemies as well as, you know, good guys and heroes. So there's going to be a lot coming forward. I agree. I don't know if they can match the level of success they've gotten with this first 10-year run, but I think they have the opportunity. They definitely have the storylines to go down. We still don't know what's going to be the fallout from acquiring all the Fox licensing, even without Spider-Man. But if they can bring over the Doctor Doom and the Fantastic Four, they absolutely have the opportunity to do so.
Oh, they do. The fact that they've, for all intents and purposes, have all the major characters now with the Fox deal. I mean, there's a lot of storytelling that they'll be able to do over the next decade or so, but we'll just have to see how it goes. I'm just cautioning, enjoy what we got right now, because who knows what it could be after this. It could be phenomenal or it could fall flat on its face. We just don't know. But yeah, like I said, very excited for that stuff coming with the Avengers. It's just an exciting time, man. I will also say this. We have the opportunity, and I don't know if we're going to take advantage of this or not, but we have the opportunity as a group, because we're all going to be in the same place at the same time, to see Spider-Man Into the Verse, because we will be together when that comes out. Don't know if we're going to do that, but also Voltron, the final season, is out when we're all together. Mm-hmm. And there has been talk of a live viewing party. I don't know if that's really happening or not, but if it does, I'm freaking excited. I'll tell you that right now.
That might upset my daughter, but you know, I'll take the hit.
I'll just go see it again. If we do, I'll just, because I've already promised the kids that Sunday we're going. We're going to go as a family and go see Spider-Man.
Well, it's only available that one day in the theaters, right?
Spider-Man?
Into the Spider-Verse?
Oh, it's a full-blown movie. No.
I get that, but it's only premiering once in the theaters.
No, you are incorrect on that, sir. It is running just like any other movie would. Yeah, it's not like a one-time engagement thing. It'll be playing just as long as it makes money, it's going to be in the theaters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So I will see it twice.
just from a movie standpoint, the end of the year, kind of circling back to the Aquaman thing. I'm not going to see Aquaman in the theater. I just simply don't have the interest. It may be great. I've heard good things, but I highly doubt I will spend the money to go see it in a theater. But I will be taking a family to go see Spider-Man, and we're all, except my oldest, because she says she doesn't care, we're all going to go see Bumblebee as well. So. Mm. Looking forward to that too. So should be.
Well, you're a Transformers nut as well. So yeah, I can see you going there
for sure. So that's all I got, Pete. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, as usual, we made a mountain out of a molehill content. So
yeah, Yeah. Well, I mean, when we get back together Sunday, obviously the Game Awards will happen. It was funny. I was just looking at Jeff Keighley's Twitter line, and he just said that he was happy to get the Far Cry news out there, you know, because that was a nice surprise for people. He goes, he's seen a lot of the rumors of games. He goes, some of them are true. A lot of them are not. But he goes, there's also the ones that nobody will see coming. So, again, that makes me very excited for what the Game Awards is going to be tomorrow. And just, again, the celebration of this industry. And hopefully we get some phenomenal announcements and surprises that come out of that. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, not just that. We also got Super Smash Brothers hitting the market this week, I believe. Friday as well?
Yeah, you are correct. Yeah, Smash Brothers is Friday. I know my son mentioned it, but it might be the Christmas presents I get.
He's probably got a cup on the door right now.
Yeah, he probably does. He was like, gotcha, I knew it. Right on. So anything else, Pete? We'll go ahead and wrap it up.
No, I think that's it, man. That's it.
All right.
Fantastic show.
Well, then, this has been episode 817 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. That is Pete. And we will see you guys pretty soon.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.